The Big Wedding Planning Podcast.
Just two wedding planners tearing it up. Listen, learn, plan that wedding. We want you to learn something valuable and be entertained at the same time. My name is Michelle Martinez.
And I'm Christy Matthews. And this episode is about entertaining.
Yes. This is a nice entertaining episode about entertaining.
Entertaining, hosting a party, entertaining guests, not entertaining like it's a juggling act or something. Although you could always bring a juggler in if you wanted to.
Right. Because, you know, there's an art to this and entertaining. Yeah, it's an art, but it's also about being hospitable, about giving people experiences, about the way they walk away and how they feel during.
Yes. Fostering connection. So the official topic of this episode is about dinner parties or, you know, very smaller, more intimate parties, which we're seeing a rising trend of more people choosing to have their wedding reception or the parties leading up to their wedding in this fashion. Less quantity, more quality, you know, maybe thinking more about your guests connecting with each other. And also the idea of bringing people into your home and your space and what that means to you and what it can tell about you. And I think that's important because I think some people find it very daunting to host.
Oh, 100%.
People in their home. They might judge me. It's not clean enough. I don't have matching glassware. I'd rather just go to a restaurant. But there's something really wonderful about welcoming guests into your home. It kind of expands your own horizons. And I consider myself a hostess in that way. Like, I love having people over. But I also really love going to somebody else's house and feeling like invited into their space. You know, the way parties always like end up in the kitchen and that's just like fun and comfortable. So I'm excited about this episode. It's a part of It's like an element of event planning that we haven't specifically talked about yet. And I really enjoyed talking to this guest, Natalie Cadet James. And Michelle's not on this recording. It was a few months ago that I recorded. And I think I texted you like right afterwards and was like, that was good. This was good. I felt like I've known her for a long time. It was one of those interviews that just feels great. And afterwards, I'm like, maybe I overshared. But
you always but do that when I'm not. You know, I feel like you say that a lot when I'm not on the interview with you. You're like, I think I like said a lot on this. I don't, you know, blah blah blah. It's gonna be. I really went into things. We went deep.
There are instances of that, but it's I think because I feel an obligation as the solo host to be like extremely transparent, because I think like in my mind, like the more I tell about myself or the more like honest I am, then they'll feel more comfortable saying things themselves. And
yes,
this
right.
actually, yeah, this didn't, this interview evolved. I mean, it's definitely about planning small events. It's specifically about hosting. And the reason I wanted to talk to Natalie was because I read a New York Times. I'm an avid New York Times on my phone reader and saw an article about her. And it was written by the same journalist that wrote that feature that we were featured in a while ago.
Yeah.
And I recognized her name and was like, oh my gosh. So anyways, it was like a little, it was a feature about Natalie, but specifically about her pivot business, as it was during COVID when she wasn't planning big events because they were all canceled and none of us were gathering. And it's this idea of dinner party in a box. And you can check that out if you want to look at it while you're listening on Instagram, Luke's Fete Social, and that's LuxeFete Social. Mm-hmm. So dinner party in a box, meaning we're going to make it easy for anybody to throw a kick-ass dinner party. And she thought of everything that she could include from sight, smell, sound, conversation starters in the box. And so that's where the interview was aimed. Like, what are the elements of a good dinner party? But by the end of it, we were talking about dinner parties that we have been to that were memorable and why. And that was when it got a little personal and kind of magical. And that felt really great. So I think it's a great episode, and I really love talking to Natalie, and I hope everyone feels inspired to host a dinner party.
Well, Natalie, because you should be listening, I'm sorry that I missed this interview. I was looking back on the Zoom video, and I have to say, I am obsessed with the black walls in your home. Okay. I'm just going to say that the background on the Zoom was amazing. And I love your style. And so hopefully in the future we could do a little follow-up or something. But I'm excited to listen to this. And I get to listen to all the episodes because I'm involved with the editing. So I'm stoked. I can't wait to hear it. Let's jump right in to Christy and Natalie's interview.
Hi, my name's Natalie Cadet James. I am an international event planner and designer and founder of Luke's Fete. I also have a dinner party in a box company called Luke's Fete Social. My mission is to really help people connect and make meaningful gatherings.
Love it. Thank you so much. I'm so happy to be talking to you today. I am an avid New York Times reader, subscriber. I listen to the podcast. I'm like a big fan. And I read the article about you, which was actually written by the same writer who wrote an article, I don't know, a year and a half ago-ish about podcasts to listen to. And I think it was like love and romance and marriage. It wasn't just wedding podcasts. So I read the article about you and about the dinner party business that you had started, opened, and were working on through the pandemic. And they kind of framed it in the article, or Alex, as a pivot, like pandemic necessary, like when events were stopped, what was somebody, you know, what was a brilliant mind, international wedding planner, entrepreneur going to do? And that was the angle that I got from it. Is that how she
That is exactly, and thank you for that. Yeah, because the pandemic, as you know, just stopped gatherings altogether, much less large weddings, which is what I produce around the world. And so I really had to think, I mean, we had a long time, right, to think about what we could do and how we could still do what we needed to do to sustain. And I'd been thinking about it before the pandemic, actually, like the art of gathering and how I could bottle up what I do on a large scale and make it accessible and easy for really anyone to celebrate a special occasion. The pandemic—
Literally in a box.
Literally in a box. And the pandemic just opened the doors for us to really jump into that. And so it was a pivot for us to think about getting this to scale, bringing this across the country. Just imagine a whole dinner party in a box. Literally everything comes out of the box, placed on the table, magazine worthy, music playlist, conversation starters. All you have to add is the food, and we have plenty of suggestions on how to do that. And I think the pandemic has kind of given us ideas on how we can quickly get great food. So
yes, that is one way the wedding or the restaurant industry has also stepped up, feel like, to make it more grab and go or, you know, more accessible, like you said, at home. So it's a box for a dinner party, a smaller gathering, everything but the food. And it's not paper product. It's not paper plates.
It's not paper product. It's reusable. So we have melamine plates. So really great, like if you're having dinner outside or even inside your home, because it's really, you know, classy and nice. And our glasses are a very premium acrylic. And so lightweight, you don't have to worry about things breaking. You certainly can reuse. Our forks and knives are steel, gorgeous, gorgeous silhouettes. And then we've got centerpiece as well, with preserved flowers and great vases and candles and candle holders. So you have the whole experience straight out of the box.
I mean, I want to talk about so much about what you're doing in terms of like, what exactly is a dinner party? Like, how do we define that? Is it sort of a lost art? Do we need to feel intimidated? I mean, we do feel intimidated, people, I think, by the idea where it's not like, oh, we're just having people over. It's not a dinner party. We're just having people over. Mm-hmm. That idea of like, we'll just order pizza or we'll just throw something on the grill. But what does it mean to go maybe one step higher than that and put more deliberation into who is there and who is talking and who is connecting? And I want to talk about why you included what you included in the boxes. But first, I feel we should, like, in jumping around, because I know people listen to the podcast and then also look at the website. So if someone goes to your website, this is not your mama's dinner party. Like, this is not like white china and, you know, bronze. Like, it just is much more. I think that's what grabbed me in the article, the visuals. Like, you're so beautiful and striking. Oh, and those were like great pictures of you, that, you know, in the New York Times. I felt like, gosh, that's what everybody wants. But then the tables, I mean, you said magazine worthy, but these are like creative, unique, edgy. They're themed. Like,
we want it to be fun. You know, our clients want a good time. And so some of our dinner party in the boxes are super eccentric. We have one that's Frida Kahlo inspired. Then we have one that's super like mid-century modern, beautiful, airy. So there's a little something for everyone. And I think it also makes it part of the conversation too. You raise a really good point about like how people feel about dinner parties. And I do think it's a lost art form. I think technology has completely rendered us disconnected. I mean, it's not uncommon for people to have like a dinner on the couch, on their phone. And then it becomes hard to think about hosting people. Will they like it? Who will come? It's this whole thing. So we want to remove all of that and just make it effortless, right? So hands down, you have a beautiful table. What about what people talk about? People don't know how to talk about things that doesn't have to do with their kids or work. And so the conversation starters is a great starting point for that. So that tension's gone. It's very purposeful. And I think every gathering needs to have a purpose to really be successful.
And that needs to be facilitated a little bit, or like the truck needs to be driven by someone, which is the host.
Gonna start the engine.
I'm putting you on this path. I've set us up for success for this party, but then you want to let go of the wheel and like enjoy yourself. And I'll come up with all the metaphors for driving, I guess. You know.
And then you watch the magic unfold, right?
Yeah. And you participate.
Once it starts, it really, my goodness, it doesn't end. We had one of our customers were like, yeah, we went on till 4 a.m. I was like, wow. You're celebrating people. And when people feel celebrated, that's when like magic really unfolds. People feel like, my goodness, look at what she did for us. And it already opens up the door to like a great time. People love to feel, you know, like you thought of them. I mean, really, I love to feel what people think of me. So just imagine when you do that first. And I've experienced that time and time again through each of my events and personal events and dinner parties as well. Like, Nat, you did this for us. This is so beautiful.
Yeah.
And then it just goes from there. And you automatically feel like you win, honestly.
I mean, did you, when you say we, so is it your team, your partner, your husband, who were you sort of like brainstorming this with?
So as a female entrepreneur, it's so important to have like a great team. And I also have advisors. I have a board of advisors. And so I'm a big believer in speaking what I'm doing, getting feedback, getting better, critique, and so forth. So, and I spent a lot of time talking to our consumers as well.
Got it.
That's a great source of feedback. And
so all the investors, as it is, yeah, either emotionally, support-wise, intellectually, absolutely, financially.
And my girlfriends also. All of my girlfriends are like, yeah, yes, that, this here, that here.
Did you think like, what, okay, let's, I mean, I'm a lister. I list things out and pros and cons and like to-dos and ideas even. So was it like, what are all the elements really truly? And I'm asking you this too, not just did you think of this, but what are the elements and how did you refine it down to a certain recipe or like formula? Like what makes a great dinner party? And then the second part of that question is like, why are we thinking of this now? Like how can all of our listeners like resolve to, you know, host a great dinner party?
Something happened to me. I planned an event in Italy, and I think it was before the event. I was at a dinner table with like 8 other people. Some were on my team, some people I didn't know. We were just kind of working together. That was a dinner party that went on until 4 in the morning, one of those. And at the end of the dinner, I'm like, what happened here? How did I fall in love with everybody here who I don't really know? But now,
like how did you get beyond small talk?
My best friends. How is it I would do anything for anybody at this table?
It's magic. And
yes, I realized, okay, Nat, we talked to each other. You created this beautiful setting. Like I remember just going to the garden, like setting up things really quickly. It was moonlit. We were drinking, the food was exceptional. It really was magic, unplanned, yeah, and it was magic. And
I'm something like, there's in the air,
a formula here, because in my events, I see how people connect. And I'm very close with all of my clients. And so, you know, I watch relationships evolve in their family, in their life. I remember them at the table. I always eavesdrop. I pay attention to those things. I'm like, there is actually a formula here of why things are working. And I didn't make this up. Humans are wired for connection. It's just understanding that and feeding into it to allow it to happen.
To foster it. Like what, exactly, makes one person's wedding something you talk about 20 years later as like,
exactly,
the experience of your life or one of them.
So when we look at the art of the dinner party, A, we know we're there, we're celebrating, there's a reason we're at this table together. B, we're actually speaking to each other beyond the small talk. I think that's key. Like engaged dialogue, which is so difficult nowadays.
Because everyone has their phone. And so if, yeah, you pose a question like, hey, like Jim, my son yesterday, even, this is such a weird example, but he was like, Mom, who was the president after the second Adam Monroe? I don't know what he said. Mm-hmm. And I was like, well, I don't know. And our first instinct, of course, was like, ask Alexa or look at your phone.
Exactly.
Instead of like my father-in-law who is sitting right there and is 70 and is like a total history buff. It only occurred to me like way after the fact that I was like,
you could ask them.
Shit, we just didn't ask.
Stories that he would have been able to tell you too. You know, having lived the experience or being a history buff, like,
yeah,
imagine the great stories you could have gotten. And I mean, this is everyone. And the other thing we see, and not at our event, not at our dinner parties, but personally, like I've been to places before where you could see people are uncomfortable. So what they do is they take out their phone and just kind of mindlessly go through it. It's almost like, leave me out. Like, you know,
it's a security blanket of like,
it's too easy, mm-hmm, to not connect. But now here, we got conversations, guys. There's 8 of us. There's this question. Let's talk.
So what is, we've seen more weddings doing this lately, like, mm-hmm, in their menu or whatever's on the table might be some conversation starters or people write a note. My best friend wrote like a little note to the head of the table at each table. Like one person was designated as the like facilitator for that table. And it was really lovely. And that person felt very honored, but responsible. Yeah. And so people are thinking about this more, for sure. I'm seeing it. What did you include? You say conversation starters, so are there literal cards?
There are literal cards. Each dinner party in the box comes with 8 cards. So the hosts can, you know, either slide it under someone's charger. We've seen hosts ask everybody each of the questions. We've seen hosts ask everyone different questions, and it often leads to conversations
sure.
not even related to the cards, but something more purpose driven for that group.
Yeah. And it's not a Q&A, it's a starter.
And everybody wants to talk. So no one wants to do it at first. It's like, oh, let me get my phone out. And everyone feels a little until it starts. And then nobody wants to stop.
Yeah, I think that's so true. Like, I think people are afraid of orchestrating things. Yeah. So the that would feel awkward. Like, okay, I get what you two are saying. It's a podcast about dinner parties. Make a beautiful table, like inspire conversation. But I'm a hard no for like an actual card because it just feels like too mm-hmm. contrived. It feels too much.
But I asked for the patience of understanding that it's not easy for people. It's like the key in the ignition to yeah. start the car. Then you let it go. Then it becomes something you're thirsty for because yeah. it's a real way to get to knowing someone. Even people you don't disagree with, you see them in a completely different light. We just have so much more in common than one can imagine. It's just once you discover that, it unlocks the potential for real relationships. Someone called me the other day, a client who wants me to do a whole bunch of dinner parties for one of his organizations. He's like, I went to one of your dinners like a year ago and I still have my conversation starter card and I'm still really close friends with everyone from that table.
Yes.
Like, oh my goodness, look at this. You know, they want to connect and, you know, it just was so good to hear that because, you know, like my dream is to really see great things happen at one of our dinner parties that actually affect change in some way right. or another. And I do believe that's possible. It's not even a belief. If you look back at history, most of the great decisions that have been made in the world happen over dinner.
Yeah, there's something about breaking bread. There's something yeah. about being relaxed, letting your guard down, yeah. drinking a little bit, but also that these dinner parties are created specifically to like get to the good stuff yeah. faster.
Exactly.
So that, you know, hours and hours aren't just like, well, I can't it's believe like it's 75 degrees outside.
Yeah, exactly. It's like 0 to 150 miles per hour.
Yeah, but that's intentional. And yeah. if everybody's like open-minded, I can see how it would feel seamless. Like how did, yeah. you know, hours go by and you're like, how did we even get here? We're actually talking about, you know, some big ideas here.
Yeah, that's the beauty of it. One of our questions, like, what would you tell your like 18-year-old self? And wow, what a question. And we, you know, people always tell us about that. The other day I was watching television and like, I think someone's doing an interview on Mike Tyson and like the snippet for the trailer is like, Mike, what would you tell your 20-year-old self? And he's like, yeah, it's going to be tough. But that's such a important question. And then like, you hear other people's responses and geez, you're not the only one that felt awkward. You're not the only one that was insecure. You're not the only one who did some stupid shit, you know, like, and wow, how you grow from that years later and wow, how human we are and wow, how we can evolve all of this
yeah.
over a beautiful dinner party with exceptional food, everyone feeling nice. And like, you know, that has to lead to something better for us right now where we are.
Yeah, no one's hooked up to a lie detector test. Like, yeah, tell exactly. us something you did that nobody knows that you did yeah. when you were 20. Yeah. But people have the choice of like how much they want to tell. My dumb dog, I might have to. People have the choice how much they want to talk about, but it might surprise even themselves. Like, I have never actually said that around anybody, or I didn't even know that I had that much in common, like you said, or agreed with that person on such a profound level about something we really care about.
One of our hosts was like, you know, my best friend shared stuff I've known him for 40 years. I never knew that about him. And that's what kept them going on and on and on and on. So it's just an opportunity to learn more and to connect. You know, we need to connect with each other. And that's what our dinner party in a box is about. We're bringing the art of the dinner party back. And I really can't think of a better time to do it as we re-engage, as we get back into gatherings. I mean, we've seen people do like 32 person dinner parties using, you know, 4 of our 8 person boxes. And so it's really limitless what you can do.
Yeah, that is... I, like my I'm thinking while you're talking, because my brother and his partner are just about to move into a new place, and I love, and I'm not there. I wish I could throw them a housewarming party or like go to their first, and they're very, they're very food focused and like love to try new things and love great bottles of wine. And they have very sharp aesthetics design wise. Like I immediately, when I looked at your website, was like, I have to gift them one of these boxes as like, hey, no pressure, like do the party whenever you want, but here's such a cool like experience in a box, and they can put it all away afterwards. It doesn't have to be like, oh, this is awkward, now we have to like have this out every time Christy comes over, and it's not really our style. Like it doesn't have to be. It just is like for the night. Like it's kind of dreamy. I love the idea of gifting that to them so that they can then get the wheels turning of like, this is amazing. Now we have to invite some cool friends.
It's a gift of connection, honestly. And that's frankly a really beautiful and thoughtful gift. And just, you know, I can't wait to hear about the dinner party that they that they throw and what comes with that. The other thing we have in there that I absolutely love is the music. So that's another magic component. For sure. Music is an equalizer. Music sets the tone. There's so many incredible genres of music. I love music. I've been hired from people who love my playlist. So I strongly believe in setting up the story with that. So we offer different Spotify playlists that really make it, you know, it adds to the magic of it. And then I think I've shared this with a friend before. I remember like this obscure song came on that I absolutely love. And I saw someone else like singing the words. I'm like, wait a minute, you know this song? Wait, come here, come talk to me. You know, I think, you know, that's the power of music, as we all know.
I mean, it does.
Part of a dinner party.
It does set the mood. You can't, I'm so glad you mentioned that. I'm going to read off the list or have you read off exactly what is included as like in summary, but I feel I am painfully uncool when it comes to music. Like I don't know cool stuff, and I'm always like a little bit jealous and a little bit in awe when I'm at someone's house and it's just a house where music is playing. Like I'll play music while I do chores or like while I cook dinner. But generally if like everyone's home, it's like this device is on, somebody's watching TV, like it's too much. But, and I'm a podcast listener, so I listen to people talking more and I have to consciously like listen to something else sometimes, like get some music in your head. But
I got you covered. I got the list for you.
It's a way to kind of like get some credit almost, like for people to listen and be like, this is a great playlist. And you're like, yeah, I know.
But 100%. Like the goal is for all of our hosts to be like, oh shit, she is the hostess with the mostest. Amazing music, amazing dinner party. So thoughtful in conversation. People are becoming friends. People are loving it. Food's outrageous. Why? Oh my goodness. That's what you get in the box. That's what we want people to be able to do effortlessly. And I think, you know, times require things to be a little more effortless because we're so used to everything being so instant and effortless.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of our sweet spot for our hosts.
So we have what the table looks like. We have a plan for conversation, whether it veers off or not, you have it, you're ready to go. Food and drinks. What do you suggest generally, but also give me some of your faves. Like imagine that we've got, you know, thousands of listeners all just like, what is your suggestion as a consummate planner and host for food and drink? Like, give me some real examples.
The easiest thing, what's your favorite restaurant? I guarantee you now you can get exceptional takeout from them. That's what this past year has allowed restaurants to do. Like the best dinner party, get your favorite foods and you're already secure. You're not wondering if anyone's going to like it, what it tastes like, because you already know.
Yeah, now, you love it.
Exactly. So it's, you share what you love with others. That's a great way to celebrate. There are some listeners, I'm sure, who actually are consummate cooks. Like yes. They know how to cook and throw down. Then you cook and share what you love to share with your guests. And that for sure is a recipe for a beautiful dinner. You know, nowadays, a lot of people have different allergies and things like that. So you may need to make sure you have options. Mm-hmm. But I think you're safe when you go with food that you love from a local restaurant and or cook it yourself. And of course, there's the private chef option too.
Yeah. And I think people sometimes, my place is too small, or if I'm cooking and I love to cook, but that puts me like away from the action, like our dining room is separate. I like to think of the kitchen as like the hub of the house. I mean, everyone's always gathered in my kitchen or when I go home, my mom's kitchen or anyone, even if the dining room table is right there and it's set beautifully, if there's some stools, you know, at the island or people are standing in the kitchen, you sort of are in there because there's an energy and that's where it's happening. I don't think like on our pep talk for people to not be intimidated about a dinner party, it's okay if like people see you
absolutely
cooking and like cleaning and throwing dishes into a dishwasher. It doesn't have to be like two separate.
So authentic, honestly. That even makes for a better dinner. Like you see someone putting in the work for you, you know, and it's hopefully easy because as long as you have a plan, I promise you, you're okay.
Yeah. Like have the stuff ready to go.
Exactly. The planners and us know we just need a plan to get it done, but yeah. It's okay that you're plating it and putting it out. That even makes it more special, honestly, in my opinion. So, and the kitchen, you're right, is the heart of the home, frankly. And so that brings a whole other element and layer to it that makes the night, frankly, you know, really magic. You know, at this dinner party in Italy that I was telling you about earlier, the chef was coming to us to talk to us about the food and tell us how he prepared it. And that added to it, honestly. That's yeah. probably another element of it that made this night everyone, my best friend at the dinner table.
Yeah.
We shared that experience. So there's so many ways to do it. Find the one that's easiest for you.
And embrace and that.
Let it go. Embrace yeah. it and let it go and watch the magic unfold.
Yeah. I think all of our favorite dinner scenes in movies, like the lighting is great. You know, it's a Nancy Meyers kitchen or some gorgeous, like, everyone's barefoot and like the doors are open so that you can go out to the patio and there's inexplicably like candles everywhere. But you also see somebody say like, how can I help? And they're pulling, you know, the thyme apart over there with the herbs, or someone is like,
you give me goosebumps.
Like, yeah, that's I love
what
that.
Gathering is. That's what being together is. That's what working together. That's what celebrating life is. That is the life. That's the best life possible, I believe. When we gather with our friends or people we don't even know, and somehow it comes to that. So
yeah.
This episode of the Big Wedding Planning Podcast is sponsored by our friend Mark Grollo at Unboring Wedding Academy.
UnboringWeddingAcademy.com/bigwedding. Go there now. You will thank us, I promise. We are so stoked to continue to partner with Unboring and Mark. We love him. He's been a guest. He's hosted an episode, the only person besides us to host an episode on our podcast.
If you are asking someone to officiate your ceremony that is not a professional officiant, mm-hmm. you need this. This yes. is what you need. You need to give this to them. You need to purchase it and give it to them right away. Or if you're somebody who is performing a ceremony for a friend or a loved one, you need this. This is going to tell you everything and get you all set up.
Yes, it is the key to making the ceremony flow, boom, without a problem, no issues. Everyone's going to be like, that was the best ceremony we've ever been to. And you're going to be like, yes, Unboring Wedding Academy saved our wedding. Thank goodness we heard about them from Michelle and Christy on the Big Wedding Planning Podcast.
Mark is a pro. He's been performing wedding ceremonies for a very long time. And he thought, you know what? I don't want anybody out there who's not a pro to do this in a shitty way.
Yeah.
I want them to do it the right way. So he put together this digital course. He is giving you a huge discount. Like, huge.
Historical. Okay?
Historic. It's crazy. He's crazy, but he's doing it because he loves us and we love him. So go to unboringweddingacademy.com/bigwedding, or you can go to our website, click on the partners page, and you'll see the link right there. We are very proud to partner with Unboring Wedding Academy.
Thank you, Mark. I think because we're both wedding planners and this is a podcast about wedding planning, a good way to frame this all up, I guess, is we have talked so much and our jobs are help people facilitate these events. Like, I don't like to say best day ever or most important day of my life or any of that stuff because I think it's a myth in its idea, but it is an elevated event. You spend a lot of money on it. You spend a lot of time thinking about it and arranging, and you do things for your wedding you've never done before and you might never do again, like hire 12 different vendors to help make this day possible. And no matter what a person's budget is, a wedding is a big portion of that budget. So across, you know, might not be a big budget wedding in terms of like comparing your wedding to other weddings, but for you, it is. That could be rent for a month or Absolutely. 6 months. So a lot goes into a wedding day. And so many people have had to plan, replan, cancel, reimagine, have two very different ideas of what their wedding is going to look like and not know until weeks before, are we going to be able to have 100? Are we going to be able to have 40? Is it going to be a disaster? And I also, we're hearing a lot of like burnout. Like yeah. people are emailing us like, I don't even care anymore. The joy is gone. I don't care whatever anybody wants to do. We're just going to show up. Like, I don't even want to plan. It's been 2 years, you know, whatever. So I want to ask, I guess what I'm trying to get at is like for people listening, how can we take the idea of a dinner party as a smaller, more accessible, easier celebration within wedding planning? There are so many opportunities. You're engaged. You've just bought a new house. Maybe you moved. Somebody got a new job. Like, how can we maybe like zero in on just one dinner, one event for 8 people that might help people feel more inspired yeah. about the big event that can be daunting?
Exactly. I think, you know, the intimacy is what brings the inspiration to. You have an opportunity to really get to talk and celebrate and be excited. And, you know, again, the environment is beautiful. You know, you tapped into something there. When it looks pretty, automatically you feel like a celebration has happened.
And with exceptional.
Exactly. It like, you know, your task of setting up the perfect dinner table is done. You just follow the instructions in the box. Your guests are there. They're engaged in conversation. The music is on fire. You know, the food's good. And there you go. Because the essence of any event, any gathering, whether it's small or, you know, the large events that we do, is that people are connecting, people are celebrating, and people are enjoying themselves. So when you do it at a smaller scale, you really see the essence of that. And if you're lucky, you can replicate that exponentially.
Yeah. Or it can reignite like an excitement about it.
Exactly, exactly. And so the effort on what it looks like is gone. You know, you don't have to worry about that. Instead, just focus on being present and enjoying your family and friends. And let nature do what it does, which is ignite, inspire, and connect. You know, yeah. when we get together and we have fun, it's awesome. Like, I'm so excited. You know, we've got celebrations coming up. We have gatherings coming up. People are feeling a little bit more comfortable. Some are vaccinated. Some, whatever your comfort level is, you can't deny, like, the air right now that's, like, excited. Like
anticipatory, yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to see someone. We're going to hang out.
Yes. And
just imagine that being effortless and something, you know, you're excited to share on Instagram also.
Yeah. And I think excited to plan. I think yeah. that for all the people that, you know, if you're listening right now and like wedding planning, specifically wedding planning has been like a bit of a slog or an emotional roller coaster or felt draining, or there's like family drama that's weighing you down. Like, all of that is taken away from your experience of planning what is in essence a celebration. So let's like move that all to the back burner for a sec and plan an actual celebration that doesn't make you feel stressed out. That is just like, my cousin's coming in town. We just got new neighbors. Let's have a dinner party where we invite, you know, those people and we kind of do it up.
Exactly. And you're excited to do it. You know, one of our boxes is called Say Something in French. It's inspired by like the south of France. So it's like lavender colors and actual lavender that you can put into the napkin ring, beautiful provincial jugs, you know, with lavender coming out of it. You can do it up, yeah. You know, you can take people places, you know, like that's what it is. And that's what we want our clients and customers to be able to do, really feel proud of the host that they are, frankly, effortlessly.
Yeah. And I also think it's a really another thought that occurred to me as we're talking is something we hear from couples a lot, because Michelle and I with the podcast are uniquely positioned that we have this target audience we're speaking to, and they feel very comfortable talking to us, emailing, DMing, letting us know what their questions are. So we have a pretty, it feels like our fingers on the pulse of like, this is what people planning their weddings are actually thinking right now. It's not about their, you know, wedding dress shopping experience and whether they can post it on Instagram. It's not what like maybe social media is telling us it is. It's actually a concern about the wedding weekend going by so fast that they're not even going to be able to enjoy time with their best friends or their people, their VIPs, let's say. Mm-hmm. And, you know, a million other things I could say is like, this is what we're hearing from couples. But on that note, like, it's hard for couples to imagine the only time I'm going to get to talk to my beloved aunt and uncle that are traveling, you know, across the country to come to this wedding is when I do like a 5-minute table visit. Like that feels, yeah. I don't want that. So how can I, they're asking us like, what can we do the night before or the day after that will help us get that FaceTime, like literal FaceTime face to face with people. And I think the idea of what a dinner party is, it doesn't necessarily have to be a dinner party in this box or anything, but distilling down all these people that love me and want to celebrate me eventually are going to be in the same room. But who do I want to like spend time with? And is it possible to plan something supplemental with them that feels way more connective?
Yeah. Way more intentional, right? Something yeah. that will stay with you. It's so true. We see our clients do smaller events before the larger events so that the core is with them.
Yes.
Because it lifts you. It gets you inspired, as you suggested earlier. It's so important. So I think you really hit it on the nail there. I guess you're really on the pulse on how important it is to want to be connected and actually be connected to your guests. Otherwise, it's a production.
And it feels... like it go like they think it goes by so fast, or I've heard it goes by so fast that I want to make sure I get this time in with people. Yeah. So the flip is like something like a dinner party or something that you host, you know, 6 months out, or just because you happen to be where some of these people you really care about are, or they're, you know, close to you, maybe work travel or something brings up the opportunity. I want to encourage everyone, like, it doesn't have to be a special occasion. It doesn't have to be like, well, it's nobody's birthday. It's nobody's, we've already had an engagement party.
Absolutely anything is occasion.
Yeah.
I'm in a great mood today. Got that phone call, booked that client. Honey, we're celebrating. Yeah.
Get out the good champagne. Yeah. You know, just somebody
my cousins are visiting. Celebration. Like, a celebration is what you choose it to be. Like, give yourself the permission to celebrate things that make you feel great without it being, like you said, specifically related to something on the calendar, you know, like,
yeah,
we're open. And I think that's a really beautiful observation about life in general, honestly.
Like, take the opportunity, even if it's just proximity, somebody, yeah. you know, you got a call kind of late, like, we're going to do this party. I've had people text me, actually one of the best weddings I've ever been to that I did feel all of the like everything was just magical. I met a friend of the groom's. I'm actually better friends with the bride, but again, by the end of this wedding, everybody was like, I'm coming to Canada to visit you. Like, we're just so connected. And then you stay connected through social media and like see what's going on. And I felt so grateful to have met such cool people who, other than this wedding and the two people getting married, I never would have, I just wouldn't have. It's like sitting next to an amazing person on a plane and then 5 hours go by, you're talking. And afterwards it's like, what just happened? How did I even, so I met this gentleman who's a little bit older than me and my husband, and he's single and he's incredible. Anyway, he travels all over. Like, that's what he does, him and his dog. And he takes photographs and he's just wonderful. And he fully texted like, hey, I'm driving through Phoenix tomorrow. If you're right, you know, and it was one of those like, yeah, you are, you have to come over. Like, we have to host you.
That's amazing. Like, you're sitting at a table with someone you don't think you necessarily might have something in common with. And then, aha, you talk and like, you've kind of experienced, this is your person now. Like, yeah. This is someone you want to see.
It's just a fondness. Like, I'm so, I barely know this man.
Yeah.
He is a single guy in his 50s who lives in LA. I don't even know what he does for like money, really. I know he is able to travel a lot, but like, I'm so fond of him. If I saw him in like an airport randomly, I'd be like, it would make my day. I would be so joyful. So that's, I'm all this to say, there's just examples.
Can you imagine that times 8?
Yeah, like, just grasp it.
This opportunity to connect that synapse, like, it is there, it is present. We just don't usually have the opportunity, especially now how we're so quick and on the phones and like, so this is what gatherings do. Like, this is the whole point of a gathering. That's the magic that comes from it. And like, what's gonna be awesome? You're gonna tell a story about this person that has like changed your life or his life. Like, I guarantee, I already feel it and see it. You know, like, something is going to intertwine in the life that's going to make for an even greater story at another dinner table. So that's what's exciting about the opportunities of gathering. And that's what makes weddings amazing, that the two tribes kind of become one.
Yes.
That's the vibe that I'm getting.
It is an enriching experience, and you know it when you feel it. You know those weddings, you know those parties you've been to. You also know those, like, some friends are great connectors, like, just as people, or seem to have like luck or knack for it. Like, oh, we're all in the same place at the same time. Like, you should talk to him. Like, you guys, I know you're going to hit it off something, or, you know, you want to do that project, you should call this person. Like, some people are really great at that. And I'm lucky to call some of those people my friends and to have celebrated with them. But I, like, we talked on the phone, you and I, there is a immediate feeling of success. I mean, like, you're in it and you're like, this is going really well. It's an endorphin releasing, like, what the energy in this room is great. Like, and I love it.
You facilitated it. You did it. You made that happen, you know? And yes, it does feel like a check mark, like, boom, did it, done. People are already asking you when the next one is.
Yeah. And you have that. I mean, this is when we lay in bed with our partners at the end of the night and you're just in that kind of glow. Like, that was so fun. Or, I'm so glad we did that. Not to say that, like, we're putting it out there that this better be a perfect night and you better use those conversations. Like, it's all the, like, handing you all the tools and then being like, these are your people, go and like, go. Enjoy yourself.
Yeah. So, I love that conversation at the end of the night, by the way, when you like recap.
Bask.
Oh, did you see that? Oh, did you hear that? Oh, yeah. Like, though, I love those calls. It's probably one of my favorite parts of a successful event and or dinner party is the reliving of it. Because then the fact that you want to relive it just suggests that it was, you know, kind of special.
Yeah. So when you've all these conversations, talking to like the stakeholders in your life, figured out like, okay, I'm going to do it. We're going to, this is an idea I need to put out there. So it, all the elements that make up a good dinner party, what it sounds like, what it looks like, what it tastes like, what we're talking about, you put into a box. And so all these boxes have different themes, and that is aesthetics, I can imagine that one might match the theme to the food served. Mm-hmm. You know, like if I do choose one of these boxes for my brother and it's the Frida Kahlo box, like he's going to serve that food that like matches and is like, he would be into that challenge. So when you're listing out, I want you to read exactly what's in a box, but then I was hoping when we wrap up this conversation that we can also talk about some of the like not tangible, the hopes you have when you send one of these out into the world.
Sure. So one of my boxes is called Bloom Where Planted. Everything is super personal to me. Like this one is, you know, that's my life. Like wherever you are is where you grow, and you grow beautifully. And so this one features a napkin ring that's like a beautiful white orchid, very structural. It features like mid-century wooden charger plates that are smooth, and then white plates as well. So I'll tell you what's in that story, because every story has something different. So that one has the white melamine plates. We have dinner size plates as well as like accent salad plates for it. The beautiful wooden chargers that I told you about. We have a table runner, like a nude gauze table runner. And then our napkins are the same material as well. And so that looks beautiful with like the pop of white on top of it. This particular story also has two different size candle holders that are like acrylic, a 4-inch and 8-inch. And then it's got these gorgeous white vases that have a flower blooming out of them. And so there are a few of those that come with the box as well, depending on the quantity of guest count you have. We also have wine glasses, water glasses. The utensils for this box is probably my favorite. It's like a white rim with the silver steel on top. And so it's really, 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 really chic. We've got eucalyptus branches so that you can kind of like lay it into the vases, or you can even put it alongside the runners. Acrylic place card. So one of the things we talked about earlier, like what makes a dinner party special? So letting people know that you're celebrating is all about in the details. And I find that when you have like name cards, that's a detail that's actually very important. So we've got these acrylic name cards where you can write your guests' names or messages or drawings, you know, be creative with it. Mm-hmm. But our box comes with a white paint pen. So it looks, you know, really high end and lovely for that purpose. And then, you know, we've got the conversation starters, as we've spoken about, the music playlist that's kind of an intangible. And you ask the question, like, what do we want people to feel?
Yeah. So when that's you the open, items you send, what's your so like,
I'll
hope?
Say it in four words. When you open up our box, there is a phrase that's written on a piece of cardboard, and it says, mi casa, su casa. That's it. That's what we want you to feel. My house is your house. Because we think that when you get to that, really so much is possible. You know, when you walk through someone's home, they're giving you their heart, honestly. And when someone does that, there is nothing we can't do once we connect. And so that is ultimately the hope of our boxes. There's something else that's special in there as we talk about hearts. I mentioned earlier, I'm from Haiti. So we commissioned an artisan in Haiti to create these stone hearts for us. They're like these beautiful soapstone hearts. So every dinner party in a box has this heart from this artisan in Haiti. And so that's my way of spreading love, mm-hmm. and also, you know, helping out the local economy there. And you can hold it in your hand. And so that's what our box is: sharing love, letting people know that your home is their home, which is just a better way of saying, come as you are and sit and let's break bread and let's have some fun.
That's beautiful. I encourage everyone to go to the website, which is luxfetsocial.com, L-U-X-E-F-E-T-E, social.com, and see what we're talking about. Like these, I'm not necessarily the kind of wedding planner that always makes sure to get a ton of pictures of the tables at the weddings that I do, or the styled shoots. Some people are really intense about those table settings, but I can appreciate when a table is set beautifully and when it's interesting and when things seem to go together and you're like, who put this together? That is, it's very tasteful or creative, or I never would have bought that charger and that plate. So I can appreciate it. But these pictures just make it look like you just want that stuff. I want that stuff on my table. I want to like walk downstairs and for that to be there and be like, you guys. And on a more personal note, and this actually doesn't have much to do with the topic of the episode, but I teared up a little bit when you mentioned that the box is called Bloom Where You're Planted. Cause I just talked about this with my father-in-law who lives with us right now, but I had a really hard time when we moved from Texas to Arizona, like in my personal life. Mm-hmm. I did not want to move. It was for my husband's job. We left like my family there. I thought we were there. Like that's what I was planting, was my life there. And my best friend said in one of the many like long conversations we have, or I just felt so lost. My body was like falling apart, which is very psychosomatic. Mm-hmm. I had all these like mystery pains. Anyways, she texted it, but I also remember her saying it. And she said, Christy, you have to release yourself from like this worry because you will bloom where you're planted. And I have brought that up to her multiple times since then, because I did ultimately, but it took like 6 months. But I've told her, you know, this was 3 years ago, but I told her very recently, like you saying that to me, that was my mantra for a long time. Like, wake up, goosebumps. Just do it. And I kind of like thanked her for that. This is a woman I've known for 20 years and I talk to all the time, but I thanked her for that. And it's not like she made it up. You know, this is a saying in the world, but she recently said, I wouldn't say that to everyone. She's like, I actually don't think everyone is capable of that. It's not like an innate human quality, but I knew you were capable of it.
Insane.
So just like the name of the box would inspire that. I would share that with people I invited to my table. If the box said, you know, just that alone would be enough to be like, hey, this was a saying that kind of like grounded me and changed my DNA for a while when I needed it.
You know how many people that you have inspired or will inspire with that story? So I could want nothing more than that in the work that I do in this world, in the box that we put out. That's way more important than the pretty forks and knives and all that stuff. It's this understanding that in life, when it's really hard, because it happened to me, you know, COVID shut everything down. Well, what do I do? Well, damn it, Natalie, you're going to bloom where you are planted. Yeah. You're going to find a way to get through this and make it work. And that's a lesson that has to be taken through every course of life and for everyone. And, you know, we can only hope that people can understand that they have that power within them. I totally understand that it's not easy
you know,
to see it. But when you do see it, things really change. Completely off topic, but things really change and evolve. And I think that's just so powerful to be able to share that with somebody. I'm just like, I love what you just shared. And like, that inspires me.
I'm inspired by you. I'm inspired by like anybody that has taken the year 2020 leading into 2021 and done something big or small, but like that they probably wouldn't have done otherwise. Like anybody who took that path, you know, the craziness and was just like, well, I'm not just gonna, I mean, we did our whole masterclass, like Michelle and I created and worked our asses off on doing that. And chances are we would not have done that otherwise, because we wouldn't have found ourselves with the rug pulled out from under us. Like, what are you going to do now? Like, what's in you? What are you good at? What do you love? What are you passionate about? Like, those are big questions that are very easy to be like, oh, I'll figure it out later. Or like, I'm doing all those things, back off, get off my back. But this was like, we're all, we kept hearing we're all in this together. And then I loved the things that were like, we're actually not all in it together. Some of us are on yachts and some of us are on like dinghies, barely clinging.
Some of us are in the water trying to.
Yes. Yeah. And Yeah. I felt privileged and grateful to be able to create something during that time and not feel like I just have to survive. You know, how are we going to get through this literally and live through it? So we have a lot to be thankful for now. I mean, we're talking to each other. We're on the other side of something life-changing. And during that time, you put together something, and I know this isn't like mass produced and you're not like shipping out thousands and thousands of these every single day, but the impact for everyone.
Absolutely.
It's heartwarming.
I've always been about quality over quantity, you know, that's just very personal to me. And so absolutely, like, if it matters, it makes me feel special. And enough people have shared that it matters, and that pushes me even more. So thank you for that.
Thank you so much for joining us, for joining me and being on the podcast. I hope that this episode inspires people to take the opportunity and foster these sort of events and connections. And I also hope that something brings Michelle and I to Miami so that we can go to one of your parties in your house.
It is done. I only need 3 hours, as I've learned, and I can put it together.
I would love to. So
it's, imagine the stories. Imagine the stories. Imagine what we'll uncover in life. So I'm excited. I'm holding you to it.
Thank you again. And yes, drop the social media one more time so we can finish
sure.
that up.
So our Instagram handle is LuxeFete Social, LuxeFete Social. My event planning Instagram is at LuxeFete. And through those, you can find out everything about us. Connect, DM me. I love to connect, clearly. And just grateful to being a part of bringing the art of the dinner party back, because the dinner party is back.
Yes. Okay. Excellent. Thank you again.
The Big Wedding Planning Podcast is hosted and produced by me, Christy Matthews, and Michelle Martinez. It is edited by Veronica Gruba. Music by Steph Altman of Mophonics. If you like the Big Wedding Planning Podcast, please subscribe. We are available for free on pretty much all podcast player apps. Help us get the word out by rating and reviewing us on Apple Podcasts.
Follow us on Instagram at The Big Wedding Planning Podcast, and be sure to use the hashtag #PlanThatWedding when posting. Become part of our Facebook group. Join us and our amazing members. Just search The Big Wedding Planning Podcast Community on Facebook. If you want to get in touch with us, you can email us at thebigweddingplanningpodcast@gmail.com, or you can call and leave us a voicemail at 415-723-1625, and you might hear your voice on a future episode. That is it. Happy planning, everybody. Christy, love you, love your show.
Bye.